jump into part three of this series we started for the new year called Uphill Habits. And it's based on this idea that something, and I think it was Aristotle that said it, but it's smarter than me. And it says we are what we repeatedly do. Our lives are the sum total of our repeated actions. Your habits every day are the things that make you who you are. They're the things that produce results in your life, good and bad. Another way of saying it, and we kind of added this for our series, is that we form habits, and then habits now form us. If you're in a particular field that requires you to train weekly or train monthly, the way you make those things habits is you do them every day. If you don't do them every day, they're not habits, and they're not as fast and not as smooth. And yet we don't do that in life. We form habits, and these habits that are bad habits begin to form us. The problem is that we are what we repeatedly do, bad habits and good habits included. Most people, however, when we start the new year, they have all these resolutions, they have all these high hopes and high things. We have high hopes, but we have downhill habits. The things that make us better, we don't do, even though we want them. So we have these hopes that we based on resolutions. And I said last week, actually, the studies say by January the 12th of every year, 80% of resolutions have failed. 80%. So you're all off the hook. You've already failed. We said last week we can start fresh and start forming some new habits. But most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. You see, hope's a motivator, not a strategy. Hope is the thing that gets you started. And the Bible's full of scriptures about hope and about encouragement. But always in the Bible, it's a motivator to adopt a strategy of a God lifestyle, of what Jesus would have us to do. That's really what we want, is putting the focus on Him. This is kind of our verse for this series of scriptures. It's out of the Message Bible, which is not a version. The Message is a paraphrase. And I just like the way this reads. It says, if you fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the outside in. Okay, y'all gonna have to wake up and talk to Him. I know it's getting cold outside. Outside in or inside out? Inside out. See, that's outside in is what the world says we should do. You go, and nothing wrong with you guys who go to the gym, more power to you. But it doesn't change, doesn't happen that way. You may shrink some pant sizes, you may grow some muscles, but the Bible says it's from the inside out that God changes us. You'll be changed from the inside out and readily recognize what He wants you to do and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, which is taking you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. That right there is really what we're set up to do. That's my heart. That's why we see on the signs and you see on stuff we give out, it says one step is take people one step from where they are, one step closer to where God wants them to be. Because that's what God wants to do. God wants the best for you, and you have to believe that this morning. I know it's struggle, and we struggle with believing that sometimes, that God really wants good for me, that the stuff I'm experiencing is not God. It's the mess of the world that we're walking through. We began in the first habit to talk about. We talked about the focus of the first. For those of you who are catching up, it's online. You can actually go watch the videos. On the Facebook Live, you can go watch all that. But it was talking about the focus on the first. And that simply means I can tell what's important and priority in your life by what's first. What's the first entry in your checkbook? What's the first thing on your calendar? What's the first thing you say and do in the morning? I'm trying to work myself. For 15 years, I was in the habit of sitting up in the morning. I'm not a morning person, so I don't smile. I'm not happy. Don't mess with me until I get my coffee and get out the door. But I started training myself to put my feet down on the floor and just say, good morning, God. Or good morning, Dad. And see if He said anything. Now, I'm so cranky in the morning, probably He is talking. I'm just not listening because I haven't had my coffee yet. So God and I have this understanding that He waits till after I have my coffee. If He wants to tell me something, He wants to make sure I get it. The second habit we talked about is controlling our thoughts. That our thoughts are the thing, that everything in your life is a result of a thought. And the Bible says that you can control your thoughts, and He gives us the ability and authority to do that. That's another good one. I encourage you, if you've missed that one, go back and listen to that one. But today, we're going to talk about the third habit, and that is, how do I keep my life aligned with my purpose? How do I keep my life in line with God's purpose? You see, you have to know this. You were put on this earth for a purpose. When our lives get out of that line, that's when we experience pain. That's when we experience a mess. I would dare say, and we'll see in a few minutes, that in the story, the book of your life, there are some chapters that we can all raise our hands and agree, God didn't write that. I did, right? This section of my life was not God. That was 100% me. And now I'm counting on God to get me back in line because I was so far out of whack. Some of you who are in a painful spot may be there because you let your life get out of alignment from your purpose. I was listening to another pastor talk, and he was talking about going to the chiropractor, and his chiropractor was telling him about something called reflective pain. And what he was saying was, he goes in, and the chiropractor says, well, my back hurts here. And the chiropractor says, well, see, that's not, your back's not your problem. Your elbow is your problem. And he began to talk about the spine being out of alignment. Well, my hip's hurting. Well, your hip's not the problem. Your shoulder's the problem. Or my hip's hurting. Well, your hip's not the problem. Your foot's the problem. And it's called reflective pain. See, where the pain is not where the problem is. And I think a lot of us are experiencing pain in your life, and the reason you think it's causing it's not the reason at all. But the reason is that you're out of alignment with what God has created you to do. See, I wonder if some of us are not feeling this in life. This pain is just not what we think it is. It's coming from something else that we're out of alignment. So I want to give you some reasons real quick why it's important for you to keep your life aligned with your purpose. And when I say purpose, you have to understand, I'm talking about God's purpose. Because how many of you understand that the devil has a purpose for you too? The world has a purpose for you. Whether you like it or not, we're all on this spiritual journey together, and you're on one of two teams. You're letting somebody control you. It's either the devil in the world or God. It's really that easy. And whether you believe it or not, we're all on that walk together. Because you need to understand the reason you need to keep yourself aligned with your purpose is simply because you have a purpose. Because you have a purpose. You were put on this earth to do something. God did not create you. God did not create Cam and go, all right, I made this fine specimen of a man here now. He likes the tide, so that's a mark against him. What are we going to do with this guy? What is he good for? You know, can he sing? Can he lead worship maybe? Can he be a music star? No, because he can't carry a tune in a bucket. What are we going to do with him? You see, God did not sit around like that with you. You need to know that God in looked through time and said, I got to accomplish this. I'll just use Cam again. I believe God had to look through time and see there's these people in Scriven County that I need to know about me, and the only one that's going to reach them is going to be Cam Wiggins, and so I need to make me a Cam Wiggins. And he purposely built Cam to do what God created him to do. For you, you need to know that. Your job is not your purpose. It may be part of it. It may be the thing that provides you money and stuff to live, but that's not your purpose. God looked out and said, I have this job to be done. I have something to be done for me, and I'm going to build me a perfect model 1.0. You know, and now and when we laugh about, I do constantly, I'm a techie, I'm a geek guy, so we laugh about iPhones, that in like the next 10 years, it'll be like the iPhone 43, and it'll be the size of a billboard, you know, they keep getting bigger. And God doesn't make a Cam 2.0. There's not a Michael or an Andrew 2.0. You're one, and you have a purpose. And you need to know that that purpose, no matter how far offline you've been, you may find yourself now, that the Bible says he can by grace get you back in line to get you, even if it's the last chapter of your life in the story, to get you back on in line with your purpose. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 139. It says, you saw me before I was born. And every day of my life was recorded in your book. Like I said earlier, some of us have chapters in our book that we're pretty sure God didn't write. That we reached up and took the pen and began to write my own story. God, you're not moving fast enough. Here's what I want. I need a better job. I need more money. I need this wife. I need this husband. I need this. And then we just pursued it ourselves, only to realize that God had none of that for you. And that everything you thought you wanted was the very thing that got you out of alignment. the very thing that messed you up. But here David's writing, say, my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Here's the truth. Life's not going to make sense. And I get a lot of kickback on this, and I can kind of feel it now. So don't kick back yet. Life's not going to make sense until you know your purpose. Until you know why God put you on this planet sucking air, it's going to frustrate you. Because you're going to find something and you're going to think, that's it, that's me, this is what I was created to do. And then it's going to let you down if it's not what God created you to do. It's why Melanie said, was talking about the growth track, that we have the growth track. For those of you new, this is not in my notes, I'm just going to add this in. If you're visiting with us today, I believe we all need to go through four things. The first thing we say is to know God. The second thing we say is to find freedom. To let God heal you from all the past, from all the stories and the chapters you wrote, to let God heal you. The third thing is to discover your purpose. Why am I here? Why did God make me the way I am? Why does this excite me and that doesn't? I've said before, a lot of us will be gracious and go serve in the nursery. But if you're like me, you don't want me in the nursery. Because I strongly believe in duct tape. And my goal in the nursery is the same number comes in and the same number goes out. Whether it's with the right parent or not, that's up to y'all. If they get out of line, I duct tape them. See, you don't want me in the nursery. It's not my passion. It's not my purpose. But there are some of you who just eat, sleep, and breathe babies and praying over them and loving on them. And they're screaming, blood-curdling screams, and you just get more excited. See, that's not me. Because that's not my purpose. So you know God, find freedom, discover purpose. And then the fourth thing we say is that you make a difference. Now do your purpose, because your purpose was put on this earth to make a difference. But if our habits don't take us in that direction, we're out of alignment with God's will, with God's purpose for our life. Most of us, if we're honest, we live life by default, not design. You were designed for a purpose, but yet a lot of us live life by default. And here in Screven County, it's really true. Because I've been here for 20 years now. I finally consider myself a Screven Countian. I know most of you, I know families, I've been around a while, but it's amazing to me when the people tell me, I'm doing what I'm doing because that's what my family's always done. That's what my dad did, that's what my mom did. Anything from church to job to I've been married four times. Well, why do you think you're married four times? And I actually had somebody tell me this. Well, my mom and dad were each married four or five different times, so it's what we do. See, that's living life by default. You weren't designed to live that way. You just accepted the default. You were designed for a purpose. Now, if I had to go out and chop a tree down, do I take an axe or a steak knife? Both of them cut. You can't argue any. I can cut with one as good as I can the other. But what was designed for the tree? The axe. Some of us are just accepting a living by default, and you were never created to live that way. And the devil's convinced us that it's okay. And it makes us kind of just weak in life. The Bible says, this is not your notes, it's Ephesians chapter 2, that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Do the work. I had a football coach that used to scream that at us. When we were in high school going to play in early state playoffs, that week he would scream over and over, do the work. If you want to win, do the work. He would ask us, do you want to win? And we'd scream, yeah. He'd say, well, do the work. You were created for this work, created to do something bigger than yourself. That when we say make a difference here, we mean you can be a part of something that's bigger than you could ever do on your own. That's what excites me about this church. I would go here if I wasn't the pastor. Because I want to be a part of something that's bigger than just one person. This is not about me. This is not about our staff. This is about a county and a city who desperately needs Jesus and has a purpose. A purpose beyond a poor town, a purpose beyond a divided town, a purpose beyond a broken town, a purpose beyond potholes and things that we see are issues. We've got a bigger purpose. And I believe when we change our habits, we begin to see those. The second reason you need to stay in line is because there's competition for your time and attention. We do too much. We live our lives so crammed full that our focus gets out of whack. Because if you don't decide what will direct your life, the world will. If you don't make a decision, these are the principles I'm living by, these God habits, the things I'm doing, this is what I'm living by. If you don't make that decision, the world will direct you. And you'll find yourself in doing other habits. Now, let's be honest. If you're online watching us, you can participate. How many of you, this is going to hurt now, we ready? We're in church, so don't lie to me. How many of you could miss 2 weeks of church and not think about it? Come on now. Now, 3 weeks. Okay, let's talk about life. Next week, child sick, you miss church. The next week, they call you into work, you miss church. The next week, we have an ice storm, you miss church. Do we realize it? See, all this stuff's competing for our time and attention. At work, an extra shift. You're going 50, 60 hours a week. Stuff competes. You got kids. One's doing cheerleading, one's doing dance, one's doing soccer, one's riding horses, it's just stuff that competes. The reason we need to keep ourselves in line with God's purpose is because something is going to take it away from you. There's this adage in the world that the world's thought is more is better, right? If I can make $1, what's better? $2. If I can make $5, what's better? $10. If I can eat one Krispy Kreme donut, how many is better? A dozen. Wrong. If you go into Krispy Kreme and buy one donut, there's something wrong with you. You go and buy a dozen. That's why they're heavily marked up on selling by the piece, because they want you to buy a dozen. They know what they're talking about. See, there's competition. More is not better. More work, more job. And I'm going to tell you, I've learned this the hard way. Several years ago, the trustees and the overseers that I have that oversee me and oversee our finances and then the overseers that watch my life came to me and said, you and Melanie, if it's only for 3 or 4 days, once a year, you guys need to go somewhere and just unplug. Because they began to see in my life that I was so wound tight. I wasn't sleeping. I was worried about things like sound equipment and speakers and, who's coming this week and what message we're going to preach and, how we're going to go take care of these people, and we got to take care of these people. Because once you get more than 25 people, I can't, and my wife, we can't take care of people. That's why we have grow groups, and that's why we have the systems that we do. But I found myself so squished, and it was like, and so we started taking those vacation, just a couple days, something simple, and then we started sharing a calendar on our iPhones. And so she can add to it, and I can add to it, and we can see what each other's doing so we don't overbook things. And there comes times we just have to say no. We're done. We're taking time. Tomorrow actually is a holiday. And normally, honestly, a lot of these holidays like this where the school's out, we just bring the girls and come up to work. And Melanie's the type of person, she wants to get stuff done, let's go. She's just very organized and driven. And I just told her no. I said yesterday, as gently as I can, I put my foot down. And then I've learned if I put my foot down, she wears boots and she'll stomp my toes. So I don't do that very often. But I said, we're not going tomorrow. So our office is going to be closed tomorrow. If you have an emergency, you call the number. We will have you taken care of. But we're going to take tomorrow off. And I'm going to sit at home on my tail. I'm just telling you that now. Because we've been working hard, and it's just time to do that. See, more is not necessarily better. And I have found this, that an overwhelmed schedule will produce an underwhelmed life. An overwhelmed schedule will produce an underwhelming soul for you. Because your soul is so worn out, you can't appreciate what you have. The last reason is because time is short. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you are one day closer to being dead. Thank you for coming to Believers Church. We're glad to send you an uplifting message, but that's just the message. You are one day closer to the end of your life. I'll go even further. I don't claim to be an expert in end times, or they call it, the official term is eschatology, whatever, those big words. I told you, some like people are smarter than me. But I don't claim to be an expert. But I know according to the Bible, we're in the end of the end. Whether that means 2 years, 10 years, or tomorrow, I don't know. But time is short. And there are people who need your purpose to be fulfilled because their eternal well-being is directly in line with what God created you to do. And he wants us to do it. Look what the Bible says in James 4:13. It says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow you're going to go to a certain town and I'll stay there a year and we'll do business and we'll make money. Right? It's always on the schedule. We're going to make money, work my job, make money. Now, don't get me wrong. Money's nice. I appreciate very much my check because it keeps my lights on. It allows me to feed my kids and my family. It makes me have a good life. I'm very, very blessed. But it says, look, we're going to do business there and make a profit. And then James says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Now, again, by showing of hands, how many of you know where you will be tomorrow at 1 p.m.? Come on, it's not a trick question. Most of us do. I'm going to be at home on the couch. I told you that. We can't say that for certain because you don't know. You don't know. Screven County could be swallowed up in a giant sinkhole swamp that we don't know. Is all this just gone tomorrow? You don't know. And James is saying here, well, you live your life like you really have it all figured out, but your life, the Bible tells us that our life is like a fog or a mist. It's here and then it's gone. What we should say is if the Lord wants us to. Now, don't cross this over with things like healing. Like, if God wants me to be healed, he'll heal me. There is no if. He does. But what we're asking is, if God wants me to do this, then that's what I need to do. We will live and do this or that. You see, most of us want life change, but the problem is we don't want habit change. I want to be a size 32 with ripped abs and big muscles and just walk around like this, but my habits say otherwise. That we laugh, but that's how we live our lives. This year, I'm going to do better. We're going to have our kids in church, and we're going to teach our kids to love God, and we're going to do this, this, and this. And then it gets cold. It's supposed to be cold next week. Next Sunday morning, they're predicting it's going to be pretty cold. Do you come, or do you stay in bed? It's habit. I like staying in my warm bed. I don't like getting up early. But our habits very much direct our lives. And we're not changing our habits. When you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. It's just the way it is. Whether it's one or there is a difference between one donut and 12. One's not great for you, but 12's really good for you. No, I'm kidding. It's really not good for you. I see y'all thinking, wait a minute. So we need to decide how we're going to get better at keeping our lives aligned with God's purpose. Real quick, let me give you. Here's how we do it. We know why it's important, but here's how we do it. First thing is, you need to decide what's important. You need to decide what is important. Ask yourself this question. Is my life directed by what is urgent or what's important? Is my life... And I'm going to tell you, I know some of these guys that I work with in the emergency services, when the tone goes off, that's what? We're going, right? That's when you do. Fire call... Brian here is going to take off running. That's what he does. That's not what I'm urgent. That's his job. But when I say urgent, a lot of us make things urgent and important that aren't important. Things that maybe you're in a high-pressure job. I know some of you guys who work at the nuclear power plants and you have to go through that training. If you go through the training and then you don't do well or don't pass the test, then you can lose your job. So I understand the urgency and the stress. But I don't think everything that is urgent is necessarily important. Because something is demanding doesn't necessarily mean it's important. These things can dominate our lives, and it moves you out of alignment. I've had to be brought back to the middle here. I worry about stuff. If you really want to be honest, I know you guys at home can't see it, but or online, but the tiles that are missing in the ceiling. My nature was... get in here, get it done, stay all night if we have to, and I expect, you know, whoever's going to come help me, and me and Andrew are going to be here, and you're going to stay here all night, and we're not leaving until it's done. But I've come to realize that if you care that those tiles are missing, I'm not going to please you anyway, right? If it bothers you that that ceiling tile is not there, I know some. I'm not talking about OCD. Some of us are OCD and we just don't like it's not right. But if you're genuinely bothered that something's out of line, then we're not going to please you anyway. And I've had to learn that what's important to spend my time on that, to make my Fridays are my study day, and the office is closed on Fridays because I come in here, lock the doors, and as best as I can, and put my heart here for you, because this is why I'm here. This is my purpose, and it deserves to be the most important thing of my week. Look what the Bible says in Philippians 3, verse 7. It says, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Jesus has done for me. Look at verse 8. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ. And you do all of this so I could gain Christ. There's some infinite value, the importance there that we don't give Christ anymore. We overlook eternity. We overlook the fact that we joke about the big swamp sinkhole swallowing Sylvania tonight, and we all go to meet Jesus tomorrow. But I'm secure because I know the value of having Christ in my life. I know the value of knowing God. Decide what's important. Number two, now that you've decided what's important, schedule time for the important things. Here's where the calendar comes in for Melanie and I. We had to decide what's important. There are a lot of other groups, a lot of other things that have asked us to be a part of them and pull us this way and pull us that way. And I've just had to go, no. I can't be spread any thinner unless God gives me some direction. What I do is what I do right now. Especially as the church grows, there's more responsibility, more people, more dream teamers, more stuff going on. And it forces me to schedule. I jokingly tell people, if we want to have lunch, then you need to ask my wife so we can put on the schedule. Because if it's not on there, I'll forget it. I'll go right by it. That I schedule even trivial things that seem trivial, but they're important. And if they're important, then I'm going to schedule time for them. Look what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 90. It says, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Remember, we're just a vapor. And help us to spend them like we should. Now, here's another honest time. Everybody get out your honest thinking, really. How many of you know how long you spend either on Facebook or on your cell phone every day? And most of you don't know, and most of you don't want to know. Right? How much time do we spend as we should? Do we make time for the things that are important? Let me give you some things you make time for. The first one is make time for renewal. This goes back to the 60, 70-hour work week. You know, the Bible talks about something called the Sabbath. For us in modern church, the Sabbath is on a Sunday. And I know it's hard to believe, and some of the times I know schedules change and we work on weekends, but you need to have a day during the week where you just take a breath. Sundays work good. I believe that's why we're kind of genetically wired. About Sunday, about 2 o'clock, we all do what? Nap. We're no matter what you're doing, what you're watching, all of a sudden, 2 o'clock, we all start going. See, I think God built us that way. And here's what I believe. I believe that you can do more in 6 days given God one day than you can do in 7 full days. I'm telling you. It's not just like I believe that you can do more with 90% when you give God his tithe of 10%. Just out of obedience and honor, you can do more with 90. You can do more in 6. So you need to make time for renewal. Take a walk. We were laughing yesterday. Mabel got a new bike for her birthday, and the other day we just decided we're just going to go for a stroll in our neighborhood. And I know we look ridiculous because we got Emma's on a scooter and Melanie and I are walking and we got Molly, our dog, going with us, and Mabel would ride up front and she'd sit there and wait on us to get up there. But we just took an afternoon and just went for a walk. Just enjoyed family and God and enjoyed what we've been blessed with. It sounds trivial, but I'm telling you, it makes a difference. to start a day like you are now, like you're if you're watching online with us, to spend some time with God, and then go enjoy a meal. Tip your waiter or waitress well. Amen. You give to them, God will bless you for it. Enjoy life. Make time to renew. The second thing is relationships. After God, the people that you choose to put in your life are one of the most, if not the most, influential parts of your life. Choose wisely, but invest time. Obviously, if you're married, in your wife, in your kids, in those close relationships. For us, in 2 weeks, on February the 3rd, we'll start our spring semester of what we call Grow Groups. They're our version of small groups. You can go online, or you can look on your BC app, and they'll be listed there. Just choose one. Find one. Build some people into your life that can help you stay in line, and give them some time. Our Grow Groups run for 13 weeks. So for 13 weeks, you just meet weekly with a group. Some are doing Bible studies. Some are doing dinner. Some just, they just hang out and enjoy life and talk about God. And those are the people that will help keep you in line and help keep you aligned with God's purpose. The third thing is reward. And most of you, when I said reward, are thinking, reward myself. And there's nothing wrong with that, with new car, four-wheeler, something simple as a meal or whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with, God doesn't mind you being blessed. He just minds you caring more about it, the stuff, than he does him. But when I say reward, I say, let's just read. Let me give you this verse. I think I put it up. I don't know if I put it up there or not, but I'll give it to you. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21 says, Jesus told them, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your stuff, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You see, we're living this life, again, like because the world tells us to, but it's about this world, but it's not about this world. It's about heaven. I did a series a while back called Heaven is Better. But as good as we think we have it now, we have no mental capacity to really grab a hold of what heaven is going to be like. Then I think a lot of us will say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, what about them stupid mosquitoes? God, why did you send gnats? Why we got to have gnats? If you go 3 hours north of here, they don't have gnats. Why do we got to have gnats? Or why did this happen? Why did so-and-so have to die? Why didn't I get this job? I'm going to ask God a question. No, you're not. Well, we're going to get to heaven, and if you know Jesus, he's going to say, come on in. And then we're going to go, oh, I get it. When you look, the Bible says that we'll look Jesus in the face. The Bible says that he is love. I know I love my wife and I like looking in her face, but there's a big difference when the Bible says you, and it's hard for us even to mentally draw that picture, that we look in heaven and go, oh, I get it. And then there'll be the realization for the brother or sister next to you that you didn't tell about Jesus, what's going on there. Because there's the reality and the realization will be just as real. Make time for renewal, relationships, and reward. Because the Bible says about those rewards that when you do for somebody else, that you're collecting treasures in heaven. And I'm convinced that people like Mother Teresa and people like that are just, there's people in churches all over this country who we don't pay attention to, who we think they don't do much. I'm going to brag on a young man here real quick. He doesn't know I'm going to do this, but I'm going to embarrass him anyway. Mr. Riley here. He's sitting in the second row. Christmas morning, that Sunday morning. I get here about 5:30. Somewhere about 6:45 or 7, I hear somebody outside. And we have a security system, so I ran over and kind of looked to see who that was. And it was Riley. I thought, oh, well, he's here early. And I went back to what I'm doing. And then he kind of disappeared. And I walked out front to the glass doors, and I didn't open them. And I see Riley out there with a broom. It had been a windy night that night before our Christmas service, and our whole drive-thru was just covered in wet leaves, and it was nasty. And there's a teenager on Christmas morning in the freezing cold out there sweeping so that you didn't have to walk through the mess when you came to church. See, I believe that Riley now has a big old honking four-wheeler, big mud tires, and a big breather on it waiting for him in heaven. whatever it is his heart's desire. We can laugh about it. Oh, well, I see those are treasures in heaven. Make time for reward, and the reward comes by doing something for somebody else, whether they know about it or not. The Bible says here in that verse I quoted you that you're to just give it away. Now, I'm not of the thought that we just need to come out and empty our checkbooks, everybody live broke, hungry, and destitute. But the reason you're blessed is not so you can get more, it's so you can do more. The reason I'm watching now is we're going through Project 216 about halfway through the year, and we have people from all over the county contributing and being part of it, and you guys are part of it. And I'm watching some amounts growing, and it lets us do more. Lets us feed more. Lets us put more clothes on kids and shoes on kids. And we've now moved into the high school with our food bag program. There's high school kids that aren't getting fed, and you guys and your generosity are helping us do that. I believe strongly you're packing bags, you're earning treasures in heaven. You're delivering bags, you're earning treasure in heaven. You may never meet the kid that eats them or ever see a kid with one of your bags, but you're earning treasures in heaven. You're sitting at the doors. We have people right now in the foyer that are out there in the door, so if somebody comes in, there's somebody there to greet them. There's nursery people loving your babies. There's kids' church people teaching your kids Bible verses and life-changing ideas and Bible thoughts and concepts. They're earning treasures in heaven. And you need to make time for that. You schedule time for what's important: renewal, relationships, and reward. Because let me tell you this, the second thing that God's going to ask you in heaven, the first thing is, do you know my son? The second thing is, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you do it for somebody else, or did you do it for yourself? Was life about you, or was life about something bigger than you? I'm convinced of that. So once you've identified and given time to the things that are important to you, the third thing is, we've identified what's important. Now we need to eliminate the non-essentials. We need to eliminate the things that we don't need. There's not a person in the room or watching online that can look at life and say that there's stuff in their life that doesn't belong. They can look and go, no, I got perfect amount. I don't have too much. I don't have too little. We've all got these things that we just don't need. Some of it may be relationships. Some of it may be stuff, but it occupies space and does nothing good for you. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:1, says that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. If you're new to the Bible, let me kind of give you it's a simple way of putting that. All your friends and family who know Jesus, who've gone before us, all the other Christians over the last several thousand years who have gone before us, I believe, and I actually did a series here called Running with the Giants and talked about these heroes of the faith and our friends and family looking down on us and going, you can do it. I believe in you. The Bible talks about this cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Cheering you on to make it. And here he's writing in Hebrews saying, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. But he says, hey, but you got to throw off all this heavy stuff. You got to throw off the things that make you not good or that slow you down. There's a reason. I was watching, where's Tom? He's not here today. The high school team went to the state wrestling championship. I never wrestled. Anyone want to know why I never wrestled? I don't want to wear one of those stupid little outfits. Those little, you're tiny, tiny, or big, big. They cram you in this little tight and say, go for it. That's just not appealing to me. I'd rather just hit you with a football helmet on and we'd be done. But there's a reason those guys don't wrestle in snow clothes and big, heavy clothes. And there's a reason. Why? Because it slows them down. It hinders them. There's a reason a marathon runner doesn't wear combat boots when he runs a marathon. Even the best of athletes, it's going to slow you down. And so a lot of us, if we're really honest, we eliminate the non-essentials. We get rid of those things and do what God's asked us to do. And the last one. I want you to write this one down. I'm going to give it to you. And then I kind of know what your MO is. And everybody's MO, we start packing and we're all heading for the buffet line. The buffet line's going to be there. I've got a few extra minutes here. And we're going to get out of time, I promise. I want God to kind of have a moment. I felt in my heart is, can we finish here? I want to just give God a chance just to knock on your heart a little bit. And that's all I'm asking. So just kind of hang tight for a minute. The last one is that we need to regularly take inventory. This is probably one of the hardest to do. We can put stuff on the schedule. We can decide what's important. But can we take an honest inventory of what actually is on the inside of us? Where is my life out of alignment? Where am I off from my purpose? Is the pain I feel the problem or the result of something else? Am I experiencing this pain in my life because this is the problem, or is it because I'm out of alignment? I'm writing my own story. I'm somewhere I shouldn't be with God. I'm moving away. I'm not in church. I don't have my kids in church, my family in church. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to read a verse, but what I want you to do, if you're visiting with us, I'm just going to ask you to trust me. Nothing weird's going to happen. Nobody's going to do anything. I just want you to just kind of have a moment with God. So I want to ask you real quick, just close your eyes and just, it's just you and God for a moment. I'm going to read a scripture that David wrote in the book of Psalms. And I want to read this to you. He says, "Oh Lord, remind me," and this is my prayer for you today, "how brief my time is on earth, and remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting life is." I'm not reading that to you or praying that over you this morning to scare you. I'm praying that so that God give you wisdom. That God help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to keep our lives in line with your purpose. Keep us going the direction that you want us to go, taking those one steps. God, that we need help taking stock of our lives and what's in it. God, we ask you by your Holy Spirit to help us give time to what deserves time, to give you time, to give our families time, to read your word, to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, to coming to church, to being in grow groups. Father God, the things that we know produce life change. God, help us. That we can just take a look on the inside. Clean out what needs to be cleaned out. Put you in your proper place, Father. Now, for some of you may be watching online, the inventory you need to take is really the inventory of your soul. That if Sylvania and Scriven County did disappear in a big sinkhole tonight, are you ready? Are the things you're carrying around in your soul the thing that will get you into heaven? Because there's only one. And maybe today you just need, it's an issue for you of just submitting your life to Christ and going, "God, I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, but I just know I need you. Jesus, I know I need you." Maybe today you need to pray something like this: "God, today I come home. I receive your Son. I receive what you did for me, Lord Jesus. I ask you to forgive me, God. And today I start following you." It's that simple. It's that easy. If that's you this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed, we're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you to the front. I know we got a lot of visitors today. I just don't want you to leave without acknowledging it. So eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If that's you this morning, say, "Clint, that's me. I'm taking inventory, and I don't have Jesus. I need him in my corner." Maybe you say, "Well, Clint, I'm coming back, and I used to be in church, and I had my life right, and then I drifted off, and my life was out of alignment." Maybe that's you this morning. If that's you this morning, either one of those, just wave at me real quick. If you're online, you can send us a note down at the bottom, and we'll contact you. There's a couple hands going up. Anybody else? And all right, let's pray this all together. Everybody in the room and online, pray it with us. Say, "Lord Jesus, today I'm home. Jesus, I receive you, and I receive what you've done for me. Forgive me, Father, and today I begin to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen." Now do me one other favor, either online or in the seat if you're in the room. Grab that little card in front of you. I promise we're not going to send you a bunch of junk. We just want to tell you what your next one step is, where you can go to form new habits, to keep this thing going, because I believe that we're in this together, and we're in this city and in this county because we're going to change things. We're going to change lives. We're going to change people's attitudes. And most of all, we're going to change people's direction and their eternity. Amen.